Chapter 13, Nehemiah's final reforms. On that day, the book of Moses was read aloud in the hearing of the people, and there it was found written that no Ammonite or Moabite should ever be admitted into the assembly of God, because they had not met the Israelites with food and water, but had hired Balaam to call a curse down on them. Our God, however, turned the curse into a blessing. When the people heard this law, they excluded from Israel all who were of foreign descent. Before this, Eliashib the priest had been put in charge of the storerooms of the house of our God. He was closely associated with Tobiah, and he had provided him with a large room formerly used to store the grain offerings and incense and temple articles, and also the tithes of grain, new wine and olive oil prescribed for the Levites, musicians and gatekeepers, as well as the contributions for the priests. But while all this was going on, I was not in Jerusalem, for in the 32nd year of Artaxerxes, king of Babylon, I had returned to the king. Sometime later, I asked his permission and came back to Jerusalem. Here I learned about the evil things Eliashib had done in providing Tobiah a room in the courts of the house of God. I was greatly displeased and threw all Tobiah's household goods out of the room. I gave orders to purify the rooms, and then I put back into them the equipment of the house of God, with the grain offerings and the incense. I also learned that the portions assigned to the Levites had not been given to them, and that all the Levites and musicians responsible for the service had gone back to their own fields. So I rebuked the officials and asked them, "Why is the house of God neglected?" And then I called them together and stationed them at their posts. All Judah brought the tithes of grain, new wine, and olive oil into the storerooms. I put Shelemiah the priest, Zadok the scribe, and a Levite named Pedaiah in charge of the storerooms, and made Hanan son of Zakur, the son of Mattaniah, their assistant, because they were considered trustworthy. They were made responsible for distributing the supplies to their fellow Levites. Remember me for this, my God, and do not blot out what I have done so faithfully for the house of my God and its services. In those days, I saw the people in Judah treading wine presses on the Sabbath and bringing in grain and loading it on donkeys together with wine, grapes, figs, and all other kinds of loads. And they were bringing all this into Jerusalem on the Sabbath. Therefore, I warned them against selling food on that day. People from Tyre, who lived in Jerusalem, were bringing in fish and all kinds of merchandise and selling them in Jerusalem on the Sabbath to the people of Judah. I rebuked the nobles of Judah and said to them, "What is this wicked thing you are doing, desecrating the Sabbath day? Didn't your ancestors do the same thing so that our God brought all this calamity on us and on this city? Now you are stirring up more wrath against Israel by desecrating the Sabbath." When evening shadows fell on the gates of Jerusalem before the Sabbath, I ordered the doors to be shut and not opened until the Sabbath was over. I stationed some of my own men at the gates so that no load could be brought in on the Sabbath day. Once or twice, the merchants and sellers of all kinds of goods spent the night outside Jerusalem, but I warned them and said, "Why do you spend all night by the wall? If you do this again, I will arrest you." From that time, they no longer came on the Sabbath. Then I commanded the Levites to purify themselves and go and guard the gates in order to keep the Sabbath day holy. Remember this also, my God, and show mercy to me according to your great love. Moreover, in those days I saw men of Judah who had married women from Ashdod, Ammon, and Moab. Half of their children spoke the language of Ashdod or the language of one of the other peoples and did not know how to speak the language of Judah. I rebuked them and called curses down on them. I beat some of the men and pulled out their hair. I made them take an oath in God's name and said, "You are not to give your daughters in marriage to their sons, nor are you to give their daughters in marriage for your sons or for yourselves. Was it not because of marriages like this that Solomon, king of Israel, sinned? Among the many nations, there was no king like him. He was loved by his God, and God made him king over all Israel. But even he was led into sin by foreign women. Must we hear now that you too are doing all this terrible wickedness and are being unfaithful to our God by marrying foreign women? One of the sons of Joiada, son of Eliashib, the high priest, was son-in-law to Sanballat the Horonite, and I drove him away from me. Remember them, my God, because they defiled the priestly office and the covenant of the priesthood and of the Levites. So I purified the priests and the Levites of everything foreign and assigned them duties, each to his own task. I also made provision for contributions of wood at designated times and for the first fruits. Remember me with favor, my God.
Thank you, Sister Emma, for reading that long chapter.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Are you ready for an hour and a half? So it's 11 o'clock. An hour and a half will be finished by half past 12. I mean, I was asked by Pastor Will to close the series on Nehemiah. Just to give you an overview, chapter 1 till 6 was the rebuilding of the walls. Remember when Pastor Will preached about rebuilding in Paul's prayer in chapter 1. And then it was finished in 52 days. Imagine, how can you build gates without the equipments that contractors use today, without modern technology, in 52 days. Amen, church. That's the unity of the Israelites. They build it by families, one portion for each family, and they build it in a record of 52 days in Nehemiah 6, verse 15. And suddenly, there was revival in chapter 7 and 8. As Stewart mentioned when he preached in chapter 8, that the scribes and the Levites were reading the scriptures for 6 hours. But they stood there listening. And then suddenly in chapter 9, Pastor Will preached that the Israelites again failed. There was failure. Can you remember, church? Amen. I have it here with me. Don't worry. And in chapter 9, they made a covenant. They made a pact. They promised God that they will follow His laws and His statutes. Amen. They promised. Can I ask you, church, right now? Have you made any promise to God? Promises to God? I hope you have fulfilled it. Can you say amen to that, church?
Amen.
I hope. Because promises, as the saying says, are meant to be broken. Am I right? But we're not alone. The Israelites, in chapter 13, are back to their usual cycle. But let's go back to chapter 10 and 11. Stewart preached about the dedication of the temple. They worshiped, they dedicated the temple in chapter 10 and 11. 11 and 12, I'm sorry. And now we're in chapter 13 to close this series on Nehemiah in rebuilding. Rebuilding involves keeping our promises to God. Amen. The context is, they dedicated the temple, so Nehemiah has to go back to to Babylon to serve the king. And suddenly he heard that the people were back to their sins. Can you... One more, please. One more, please. This is the state of Nehemiah in chapter 13, which Sister Emma just read. In... Oh, I might fall here. In verse 4 to 14, the house of God was defiled. Imagine the priest, Eliashib. Did you pronounce it Eliashib? I would pronounce it Eliashib. He allied himself with Tobiah. Remember Tobiah? He was one of those who opposed the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. Together with Sanballat, remember Sanballat and Tobiah, they opposed the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem in chapter, I believe in chapter 5 and 6. In the following verses, the Levites as well, because he put him in charge of he built a house for him in the former storage of the goods that were to be distributed to the Levites, the tithes and the offerings, where he put him in charge of those, and the Levites as well had to go back to go outside of the walls of the city to plant, to shepherd, to work. Wherein in the Old Testament, in the book of Joshua, when God gave them the inheritance of the land, he gave the 11 tribes of Israel each portion of the land of Canaan, the promised land. But he did not give the Levites any inheritance. Why? Because they were in charge of the house of God. Amen, church? The priest, those who carried the poles of the ark, the singers, the Levites, they had, the 11 tribes has to give the 10% of all their earnings to the storehouse for the Levites to have a living, a source of living. Are you with me, church? So that was the story in the following verses. And then, one of the Ten Commandments, keep holy the Sabbath. Even God, in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, on the seventh day he rested. That's why he asked the people of Israel and even us to keep holy the Sabbath. But they were trading on the Sabbath. They did not keep the Sabbath day of the Lord, the seventh day. And suddenly in from verses 23 to 31, they intermarried. They defiled their houses by intermarrying with foreigners. Imagine. Eliashib, the high priest this time. It's a different Eliashib that was mentioned in the first paragraphs, in the first part of the chapter. This one is the high priest whose sons, I think it's his grandson now, married the daughter of Sanballat, another one who opposed the rebuilding of the walls. Their enemies. And also, they intermarried with the Moabites and Ammonites. I mean, if you look at the Moabites and Ammonites, these are the sons of Lot from his daughters. Remember in the Genesis chapter 19? Are you with me, church? I'm teaching you now a lot of scriptures in the Bible. Luckily, I say I privileged enough, as I have told you, when I first stood up here, when I gave my testimony, my brain is only three quarters. Yeah, but God has given me the gift to keep things in my brain. Amen, church, by the power of God. Amen. So, they were able to get out of Sodom and Gomorrah when God rained sulfur and destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of their sins. And then they were in a cave, and then they got the daughters were so worried. So it's a bit. I won't give details on that. And then the fruit of that was Moab and Ben-Ammi, who became the Moabites and the Ammonites. Amen. And where am I now? So, can we move forward, please? I want to talk to you about things that happened in Nehemiah, about the Israelites in the time of Nehemiah 13. Firstly, I would like to talk about the cycle in Israel's history. Remember, the Israelites at the time, they love to go around circles. Instead of crossing the wilderness when they came out of Egypt, supposed to be in 2 weeks, they love to go around for 39 years and 6 months, almost 40 years. I mean, in the book of Judges, every time the judges are there, they are okay. They kept their promise. They're on fire with the Lord. But when the judges die, and a few years later, they're back to their sin and align themselves with the other Ites and Philistines and whatever people who are there. And so the Lord will raise up those countries, and they will enslave them. Are you with me, church?
Yes.
I'm just 20 minutes, 15 minutes. We still have an hour. So, and then, but the good thing with God and the good thing with the Israelites, they always cry out to God when they're enslaved. When they're feeling the pain, Lord, they always cry out to God. And this loving God, their loving God, would always send a deliverer. And that goes on in the book of Judges. Amen. And now, remember in chapter 7 and 8, there was revival. Chapter 9, there was failure. And then they repented and they came back again. And there was revival again. And now in chapter 13, they're back to this cycle. As I mentioned, that was their state. Another thing that I want to talk to about is integrity. The integrity of the Israelites. Integrity. I like the definition that C.S. Lewis gave. Integrity is doing the right thing even when no one is watching. Remember, Nehemiah was back in Babylon. And now, before he left, everything was okay. There was revival. And now they're back to their sins. They even made a pact. a covenant with God and with Nehemiah that they will follow his laws and his statutes. And suddenly they're back. Even imagine the priest first broke. What do you expect if your leader breaks the law? Of course, we will follow. The people will follow. Why? Are you still interested? I can see you a bit serious, or do you want? You still want me to continue the hour? The one more hour. Okay. So, you know, a good example of this is, I would say, Joseph. Potiphar was away. Remember when he became the steward of the house of Potiphar. But they kept his integrity. Even the wife of Potiphar tried to entice him, but he ran away. Amen, church? How are we? I mean, on a Sunday, if you notice the Christians, oh, we are all saint-like people. Amen? Because Pastor Vin is here, and the church is here. But what about on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday nights, TGIF, and on a Saturday? Can we maintain that? Can we be consistent the whole week without Pastor Will and the church looking at you? Your promises are promises. You know, church, I was privileged to be to have been trained in what we call an IBS seminary. The founder of the Bible College called it a seminary. Why? Because we will train you here and here, he said. So, on an examination day, they will let you keep your Bible on your table, on your desk. Your notes beside you. And the teacher will tell you, the instructor will tell you, now you have your Bibles, you have your notes, it's up to you and God if you will cheat. Are you with me, church? Integrity. Even without doing the right thing, even without, with no one seeing. Yeah, remember, church, God is omniscient. He knows everything. Psalm 149, wherever you are, up, down, what's in your hearts, He is omniscient. He knows everything. Can we say amen to that, church? And going back to the Bible seminary, when I did my internship, we have to go to the house of a pastor. Not to the church only on a Sunday. We have to live with the pastor so that we can see his lifestyle. Are you with me, church? I mean, sometimes when we are at home, we are different. I mean, like the Israelites, you know, church? Because of this, they are losing their identity. Remember, the Israelites were called to be holy, separated all alone for God. That's why he asked them not to intermarry. They are losing their identity as Israelites, as the people of God. Same with us now. Sometimes we miss our callings, that we are a holy nation, separated for God, but we live the life of the world that is in the world. Remember, Jesus said, "You are in the world." Can someone quote it to me? Pardon? But that not, you are in the world, but not of the world. Amen. We are still here, but we are not of the world. We should not be doing what the world does. Amen.
Amen.
Church, the question is, I forgot this one. Just a quick passing. Remember when about integrity, when Moses was in Mount Sinai getting the 10 commandments from God. I love to watch the 10 commandments. The first one with Charlton Heston. I mean, to be honest with you, church, I watch it at least once a month. I saved it on my Sky. So I watch it every, because I'm really blessed. And when he was there, and he's not coming back for 40 days and 40 nights, what did they do? They asked Aaron to build or to make a golden calf to worship. Now, we are human beings. Is it possible? Can you turn it? Is it possible to be consistent in keeping our promises, in keeping our covenant with God? I gave Joseph as an example, Joseph the dreamer. It's possible. How? How is it possible? Chapter 13 opened with the reading of Numbers. I think it's in chapter 22 to 24. Nehemiah 13 starts with the Word of God. So to be able to be consistent, to be able to keep the promises of God, we must always go back to the Word of God. I use these three texts today about the Word of God. A lot of people use this for success, prosperity, Joshua 1, 8, and 9. If you want to be prosperous, meditate on the Word of God, isn't it? So I'll read it for you, yeah? Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written on it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. He mentioned it, that you may be able to obey all this. Do not let this out of your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. And he continued. Yeah, so we read the Bible. How many of you read the Bible every day, day and night? Amen. A few. Yeah. The reason for you to read is not to read like a book. Yeah. The purpose of us reading and meditating this is that we may be able to obey all that is written on it. All. Amen, church? All. Can we say all? That we may be able to obey everything that is written on it, then you will be successful and have great and prosperous. Those are just addendums, the prosperity and success. What is important is our relationship with God, that we would like to obey. We would like to read, be with God. As we read the word, we are talking, communicating with God. And this, the word, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And I would like it to be in the present tense today. And the word is God, because he is speaking to me. Amen. I did not remove or add to it. I just presented it as if it was today. Amen, church? The word is God. When you read your Bible, you are talking to God. Amen? Talking to Jesus, the Son of God. Secondly, all scripture is by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So this, everything that is written in it is complete for our salvation, profitable for our salvation. Everything that is here is written for us. A lot of things are not written, as Deuteronomy 29:29 says, secret things belongs to God, but revealed things belongs to you. So the only things that are written here are enough for us, for our doctrines, to reprove, to correct us. Amen. When you read, for example, you did something not right, or you've broken your promise. So when you read, oh, I made a pact with God. Amen, church. So we need the word of God. Secondly, accountability. Can we? Nehemiah's accountability. Imagine in chapter 1, because God called him to rebuild the walls, he did everything. He spoke, prayed first, and then he asked the king. And everything, with God's help, the walls were rebuilt, the people were revived spiritually. And now when he was away, he heard of those things. Because of his accountability to the people and to God, he came back. He went back to Jerusalem to correct and rectify. He made all the reforms. Amen, church. I'd like to challenge you today. Is it only Pastor? Where's Pastor Will? Is it only Pastor Will who is accountable to God regarding us? That's why we are saints on a Sunday, or saint-like on a Sunday. No, we brothers and sisters are accountable to one another. Amen. Let's read this, brothers and sisters. If someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. I will reiterate that, gently. But watch yourselves. You also may be tempted, as you also may be tempted, because there is a danger when we help, when we see a brother or sister in sin, there is a temptation, a danger of us condemning instead of helping, restoring. There's a temptation, a danger of condemning. Are you with me, church? But watch yourselves. You also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens. He said, carry each other's burdens. As if you fall, you are able to fall as well. Amen, church. When we are brothers and sisters, when somebody makes mistakes, we are here to help. We are here to restore, help them be restored, not to condemn them. Amen. For example, isn't it the church is the body of Christ? It's like our bodies. If someone, if your big foot or big toe made a mistake or there was something wrong with your big foot, will you cut it off? No. Amen, church. Amen. You will feel the pain. So try to help mend that brother who has fallen. Yeah. Not to condemn, but to help and restore. Gently. With respect. And this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. Verse 9, Galatians chapter 6. Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers, especially to us. Amen, church. Let's try to be good. When somebody is in need, when somebody needs help, help them. Amen, church. Amen, church.
Amen.
James 4:17. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, is sin for them. It's not condemnation, brothers and sisters. It's the word of God. If we know that we need to help somebody, if we know we need to encourage somebody, we need to do something, and we do not do it, it's what the Bible says. And lastly, Nehemiah's prayer. Nehemiah was a man of prayer. Pastor Will opened this series with rebuilding begins with personal prayer. Amen. Nehemiah, in this last chapter, ended it with prayer. Sister Emma read it earlier. She read, remember, remember, remember. Verse 12, 14, 22, 29, and 31. Remember me. Remember my people, your people. I mean, you know, I'm really blessed with this church. Pastor Will and Jen, where's Jenny?
Crash.
They always send emails. Jay, please pray for this. Please pray for. I hope not only when somebody told you to pray for somebody, especially in the church. Let's make it a habit, like Nehemiah, to pray for one another. Especially those we always hear news in church. Let's pray for one another. I heard somebody say amen. Can I hear people say amen? That we need to pray for one another. Amen. You know, Pastor Will knows this. My wife knows this. I always wake up. I work full time, but I always wake up 5 o'clock in the morning, sometimes 4 o'clock, to pray, to read my... I've told this to you during my testimony. I will tell you again. I pray quite a lot. When walking... Because when I get to the office or to the hospital, we park at the car park. But going I have to walk to Vicar's house outside the hospital. So when I walk, I pray. I meditate. I pray for you guys. I pray for my family. I pray for the church, other churches. Let's make it a lifestyle in praying. Praying for one another, even without people sending us reminders of prayer. Yeah. Remember. Remember. 4 times he said, remember. You know, God wants us to remind him of his promise to you, to anyone, every one of us. Second Thessalonians, is it 5:17, 5:18? Pray without ceasing. Amen, church. You know, church, what promises have you made to God, to yourself, to your family? The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, when you promise something, just say yes or no. Other than that, it's not from God. So we must keep our promises. You know, before I came to this country, I just asked Pastor Will if I can share this with you. I was a pastor in the slum areas, so I made a pact with my wife and a promise that I will support the poor churches. Because I explained this to Will and Stuart, that the big churches in even in poor countries, they are self-supporting. There are business people, there are a lot of, but in the squatters area, where the minimum wage is 500 pesos, about 7 pounds for a day, if they have 5 children, sometimes when I was pastoring there, when I visit the flocks, it's already lunchtime. They don't even have food on their table. So what I do is I buy a kilo or half a kilo of rice and tins of sardines, and I give it to their table so that they have something to eat. So I promise when I came here and the Lord has blessed us, we send help to these pastors, to the people. Like now, you know, it's good. The church has become part of it. The board and Pastor Will has kindly helped us. We're sending 2 boxes. Imagine, of goodies, clothes, and chocolates. Imagine, poor boys will eat, will have and taste a Cadbury chocolate. What will they feel? You know, they will always remember you. When we give it to them, we will tell them that this came from the church. Now, I would like to again ask you, have you made a promise that you haven't fulfilled or that you cannot fulfill to God, to your... Just go back to the Word of God. Amen. And let us all be accountable to one another, not only Pastor Will and Stuart. And lastly, let us always pray for one another. Is it okay to pray for you guys, church? Can we all stand up? I would like to pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word today. Lord, these are not my words. These are all your words, oh God, to encourage us. As you said, we must edify the church, oh God, and to encourage the church. Lord, you are a promise-keeping God. You are a God who cares and a God who forgives. We may have not kept our promise, oh God, like the Israelites did when they cry out to you. Now, Lord, we are crying out to you. Lord, forgive us. Help us to fulfill our promises, to keep our promises. For your church to be rebuilt, oh God, spiritually and physically. Lord, We need you in our lives. We need you in this church. Lord, speak to to your people when they read your word. Lord, as part of your body, Lord, help us to start being accountable as brothers and sisters to one another. And help us to pray for one another, O God. Lord, have your way, Lord, with your church, with your people. Touch your people right now, O God. Help us, Lord, to look up to you, Father. You are a loving God. You are a gracious God, willing to lift up all those who make mistakes. Father, we thank you for your word today, and thank you, Lord, that you are our God. You are a holy God, a promise-keeping God. Thank you for your guidance and help today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody would say, Amen.